Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monclova Baptist Church podcast. We're thankful that you joined us today. Hey, if you would do us a favor at the end of this episode, make sure that you follow us on our social, Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell button so that you get notified every time that we post new content. If you also want to stay connected with us beyond Sunday morning, make sure that you download the MRBC app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Now let's dive in.
Let's pick up reading, if you would, please, in verse number 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. This, what a phenomenal thing here in these couple verses we just read. John is so amazed by what he sees. John, for these last 21 chapters, sees into the future and sees the Lamb and sees the triumphant of the Lamb. He sees Satan being cast in the lake of fire. He sees all of these things that we've studied take place, and he doesn't know what to do, and so he just simply falls down and begins to worship, and the angel says, whoa, you're worshiping the wrong thing. Get up. And he says this two words. He says, worship God. Worship God. Boy, just those two things could change our life. Those two words. Just worship God. We get so focused and so enamored with things that really don't matter. You know what we as Bible-believing Christians ought to simply do? Worship God. Let's keep our eyes and our focus on what really matters. Not bowing down to any other thing that is not worthy of our worship. God is worthy of our worship. And the angel here says, worship God. Verse number 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the last, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm going to get right into this morning just for the sake of time. I want you to see this morning, there are several things in this very last chapter. We find in this last chapter, there's a prophecy. All throughout the Bible is prophesying of things. The Old Testament's prophesying of the Savior that's going to come. In the New Testament, there's prophecies of these last days. But in this last chapter, we see the last prophecy is going to be given. And that last prophecy, I want you to see with me in verse number 7, the Bible says this, behold, I come quickly. This is the last thing that's going to happen. This is the last prophecy that we find in the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself says this, I am coming. You mark it down. Heaven and earth could pass away. This world might not seem like what you think it ought to be. You might be going through toils. You might be going through depression. You might be going through anxiety. You might be going through pain. This world may let you down, but you mark it down. Jesus said this, I come quickly. You know what that means? Jesus Christ is coming again. That's the last promise. That's the last prophecy. The Bible says, behold, I come quickly. This promise that we as believers have. Now that word quickly is, it means this. It means suddenly. So some might say this, well, is this even true? Because he says, I come quickly. And that was written some 2,000 years ago. This is not a time frame. This wasn't Jesus saying to the apostle, John, I'm coming quickly as in timing. What he's saying is this, I'm coming quickly as in suddenly. When Jesus Christ comes, the Bible says it's as a twinkling of an eye. It's in a split second. When he comes, he's coming again. It's going to happen. It's going to be immediate. It's imminent. He is coming. And when he does come, it is going to be suddenly. In verse number 10 and verse number 11 of this same chapter, the Bible says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. He that is filthy, let him be filthy. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You know, as I'm reading through that, what is he simply saying there? He's saying this, if you are unjust when he comes, you're going to be found unjust. If you're living a filthy, sinful life, when he comes, you know what you're going to be found? You're going to be found as a filthy sinner. But if you're living a righteous life, you're living a holy life, when he comes, that's how he's going to find you. How foolish you would be not to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How foolish the church would be not to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How foolish this world is not to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many in this world today, they pride themselves on the living for themselves. They pride themselves on not believing that this book is the Word of God. They pride themselves on living a life full of sin. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you know what they're going to be found? Unjust. What is he saying this? Get right with God today. Because when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be too late. For the one that's saying this, I'm going to live how I want to live, and I want to do what I want to do. When Jesus Christ comes, you are going to be found unjust. You're going to be found unholy. You're going to be found filthy. And you will be cast into the lake of fire, as he says in chapter number 21. Jesus Christ is coming again, and we need to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is today to get saved. Listen to me, friend. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the day to worship God in him alone. Today is the day. Why? Because at any moment, Jesus Christ is going to come. And when he comes, it's done. Are you living in such a way, ready, anticipating that Jesus Christ is going to come? When he says, I come quickly, I come suddenly, you know what that means? It's not, well, he's coming, I better get right with God. There is no time when he comes. It's just like this. And Jesus Christ has come. This book is written so that you respond. As we read the book of Revelation, what's the purpose? Again, sometimes we get so deep into it that we fail to recognize the purpose of this book is so that you respond. It changes you. It changes how you live. It changes how you think. That's why he says, blessed is he that reads it, blessed is he that understands it, and blessed is he that applies it or does it. Why? Because this book is written for you. It's written to change your life. It's written so that when you read it, you realize what God said in the Old Testament has come true. What he prophesied in the New Testament is going to come true. Jesus Christ, he's coming again. Therefore, I am going to be ready for him when he comes. This book ought to change you. We've spent almost 30 weeks as a church studying through this book. And I asked the Lord this morning as I was sitting in my office, Lord, what has changed in my life? Over the last 30 or so weeks, I've studied this book and I've poured time in prayer into studying this and preaching this book. What has changed in my life? Am I closer to God? Am I walking with the Lord? Am I ready? Am I anticipating his return even greater today than I was some 30 weeks ago? The answer ought to be yes. Where is our church as we've studied through this book? Where are we at now that we've read it, now that we've understood it, now that we're applying it? Where are we at? There is a response that is required. If you've been here for any length of time, you have heard the gospel message preached. Where is the response? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him? Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse number 13, Jesus says this, "I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." He could say this, I'm A to Z. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. What he's simply saying, I am. What does verse number 13 tell us? This is all about Christ. This whole book, the Bible. So we've got to be so careful when we read the Bible. So often we're looking at what we want the Bible to say. I've said this to you before. We need to be careful when we're studying the Bible that we say, we don't ask ourselves, what does the Bible say to me? That's not how we study the Bible. How we study the Bible is this. What does God say to me through His Word? Not do I want it to say. That causes confusion. That has caused such confusion by people reading the Bible saying, well, this is what I think the Bible says. This is what I think the Bible means. This is what I want the Bible to say. No, listen to me. We read the Bible. We study the Bible for this reason and this reason only. What does God desire for me to know from His Word? He says, I'm the first and last. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not incidental. Jesus has come, and Jesus Christ is coming again. That's not just incidental in our belief. That is the core of what we believe. That is what the Old Testament saints look forward to, the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. We have studied it as we've studied through the book of Revelation. We have studied back all the way back in the book of Genesis, the beginning of this Bible, where man sinned against God and a promise was given that a Messiah is going to come. For what reason? So that we can be reconciled back to God. God desires to fellowship with you. God desires your worship. God desires your praise. God desires glory from you to Him. That's His goal. He, for all of eternity, wants to dwell with His people. He wants to be your God. He desires this, but He can't because of sin. So what happens all through the Bible? So many people see the Bible. It's so confusing. I don't understand it. Let me simplify it to this. It's about Jesus Christ, a promise of the Messiah, so you can be reconciled back to God, and then a promise that He's coming again so that you will live with Him for all of eternity. That's the substance of the Word of God. It's the purpose of the Word of God. Jesus has come, and He's coming again. So first I see this, the Bible's last prophecy is that this, behold, I come quickly, Jesus Christ is coming again. I want you to see secondly, also we see in this last chapter of this last book of the Bible, we see the Bible's last invitation. Look with me in verse number 14, the Bible says this, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely. I want you to see here the Bible's last invitation. Verse number 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. Jesus sent a message to the angel and said, go to the churches and tell them this. I want them to be saved. The last invitation is this to all mankind, to everyone, to each person here, to every living soul. Come to Jesus. That's the message of this book. Come. Those that need life, come. Those that need to be saved, come. You know, we find in this last couple of verses here that Jesus cares. This is why Jesus left heaven's home. This is why Jesus left heaven, the perfect place of heaven, and came to this sin-filled earth. This is why Jesus, for 33 and a half years, walked upon this earth and lived the sinless life. This is why Jesus endured the cross as we went to the table today and we took of the bread and took of the juice and remembered the body that was beaten and the blood that was shed. This is why Jesus did it. For what reason? So that you and I can come and live with him freely. Come to Jesus. Jesus cares. You know, the story of the Bible is this, that man sinned and that God loves you. So many of you know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The story of the Bible is this, that you and I have sinned, but God loves you and has sent a payment for your sin debt. And this very last invitation here in the book of Revelation is this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the waters freely. I love that word, whosoever. That is you. That is me. The Bible says, whosoever, you put your name right there, and he's speaking to you today. You can come to the precious Lord Jesus. He says, come to me. Here the bride says, come. Verse number 17, not only does the Spirit say, come, the bride says this. Hear me today, church. The purpose of the church is evangelism. I'm afraid that sometimes in our westernized religion, we've lost the purpose of the church. We need to get back. We need to get back to the true purpose of the church, because many a times the church can be involved in everything but evangelism, and people are okay with it. And we're looking for all kinds of things. When you're looking for a church, what are you looking for? And I believe, and we do our best here to have needs met. We do our best to meet the needs of families at every age. We do the best to have a fantastic nursery and a fantastic children's program and an outstanding youth program. And my goodness, you'll get the best preaching on Sunday morning you'll get anywhere on Monclova Road. And that's what we want to offer. But the reality is this church is for evangelism. That's what it's about. Oh, we want to help families. We want to help raise your children. We want to help educate your kids in our academy. Those are all good things. But if those things prioritize more than the purpose of the church, we are not doing what God has called us to. God's called us to evangelism. The bride. Who is the bride? That's you and me. What are we crying? Come. Come to the Lord Jesus. Those that are thirsty, come to Jesus. Those that are sick, come to Jesus. Those that are naked, come to Jesus. Those that are weary, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. What would be the cry of the church? Come to Jesus. We see, first of all, we see the last prophecy of the Bible. Secondly, we see the last invitation of the Bible. Thirdly, I want you to see this. There's a last warning that the Bible has for us as well in this last chapter. For I testify in verse number 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. There's a warning here. That warning is this. Don't try to revise this book. Don't try to change this book. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Look with me in verse number 6 of this same chapter. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Where else do we find this as well? Go back with me to chapter number 3 in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verse 14. He says to the church at Laodicea, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Look what he calls himself. He's the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ is saying of himself that he is faithful and true. He's saying of his word that his word is faithful and true. You know what that means? There's nothing that we as human beings can add to it or take from it. It's not ours to touch. It belongs to God. And God is faithful and true. There's a warning that is given in this Bible. Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:6, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There are so many today that's trying to change the word of God. They're taking out what they don't want to adhere to. They're adding what they think it ought to say. And there's a severe warning here. Let the Bible say what the Bible says. Let the Spirit of God convict you. Let God say what he wants to say, because God is the only true and faithful one. We as human beings, we get caught up in our emotions. We get caught up in our feelings. We change day to day. How many of you ever thought something one day only to realize the next day you think something different about the same thing? How many of you ever thought you were so right one day only to find the next day you had no idea how wrong you were? How many of you in this room have ever changed your mind on something? How many of you ever changed your mind about the same thing in the same day? Twice. Yeah. Listen to me. The Word of God is faithful and it's true. You can take it to the bank. If it says it, then we believe it. All we need, please remember this, is the Word of God. I love reading books. I'm an avid reader. I love reading. I love studying. But the reality is this. We don't need libraries of men's opinions. We have the Word of God. And that's all we need. It is settled. It is sealed. It is fixed. It's the Word of God. Go with me to Proverbs, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter 30 talks about the pureness of the Word of God. Verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, the Bible says this, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. What's he saying? God's word is true. Your word is a lie. If it's opposite from God's, trust in God. I like in closing what John says here. I want you to think about the emotion that John would have experienced. John here has come to the very end of this verse, or end of this chapter. He's written down exactly as he's been commanded to write down. He says, not to change a jot or a tittle. Don't change a thing. And then he says, he which testifies, in verse number 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Who's he speaking of? Jesus Christ. He once again says the promise, the last prophecy, Jesus Christ, the one that has written this, says this, I am coming again. And John's answer to that is, amen, or let it be. And then he says, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. John's reply was, after he heard all these things, after he experienced everything from chapter number 1 down to the last word in chapter number 22, as he penned these things, he said, come Lord Jesus, I'm anticipating your coming. I'm waiting for your coming. What ought our response ought to be? As we've studied through this, our response ought to be, Jesus, come quickly. I can't wait for your return. This book is not written to scare us. This book is not written to confuse us. This book is written to excite us that Jesus Christ said, I'm coming. And John's response is the same response that we ought to have. I agree. Let it be. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready for you to come. Here, I want to remind you that John is on the island of Patmos. John is weary. He's an aged man now. He's being persecuted here on this island. He's been exiled to this iron, this quarry, that hard labor is what it is, only for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. John is here on this island of Patmos, and he's got to be wondering, I've lived my life. I've sacrificed my life. I'm in this weary place. I'm in this persecuted place. I'm tired. I'm ready to go. Life is not going to be too much longer. There's got to be times when John was so weary, he'd have to say to himself, was it worth serving Jesus? There's been times, because he's human, he had to have wondered, Jesus, is what you said, is it true? I'm not finding myself in some wonderful, luxurious place. He's finding himself in a very difficult place on this earth. And it was in this condition that John gets a clear glimpse into the future. He gets a clear glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. He gets a clear glimpse of heaven, the new heaven and the new earth. He gets a clear glimpse of the Lamb sitting on the throne. He gets a clear glimpse of a city that needs no sun. He gets a clear glimpse of his salvation. He sees the Lamb of God and he says, let it be. Come, Lord Jesus. He can't wait for the return of Christ. How do we respond? How do we respond? Our response today ought to be just like John's. Come, Lord Jesus. Until then, remember there's a prophecy that's coming. Jesus is coming again. There's an invitation that we're a part of proclaiming. It's this, come to the waters. Whosoever will, come freely to the waters of life. Come to Jesus.
You just finished listening to a message from the preaching ministry at Monclova Road Baptist Church. If it was a help to you, make sure that you let somebody know about it. If you need help beyond this message, make sure that you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, monclovabaptist.org, and we would love to connect with you there and help you with anything that you might need. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Monclova Baptist Church podcast.